I'd like to thank the Mises Institute for having me. My first scholars conference was in 1999, and they keep getting better over the years. I'd like to briefly explain my interest in this topic. I deal a lot with the news media at the think tank where I work. And one question that I'm asked, we're dealing with very abstract ideas that do have a practical application. One question that I'm asked all the time is, well, who are these Austrian school economists? And I find that being able to take popular culture, examples from popular culture, and cite them to the news media helps them understand these very abstract ideas. And one way that I've introduced Ludwig von Mises and his story to many journalists over the years is to remind them that there was a great movie, a great musical, The Sound of Music. It's about the Anschluss. And of course, as Dr. Holzman's book notes, Ludwig von Mises got out of Vienna just ahead of the Nazis. But it really clarifies for a lot of people in the media that I've dealt with who he is and what we are. We're pro-freedom, pro-liberty, and we're involved with ideas, as he was. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to go through real quickly what I found in reviewing 100 years of the American Economic Review. It's my contention that the Austrian school gets a bum rap from people that just don't know how many institutions, serious institutions, have taken our work very seriously. Two papers that I presented here in the past dealt with the Austrian school in the reviews of the Federal Reserve System and the Austrian school in the National Bureau of Economic Research's Business Cycle Studies. Those were published in 2006 and 2010 in the Quarterly Journal of Austrian Economics. This paper kind of grew out of that. My question became, well, what about the AER? The AER, which was first published in 1911, is the leading peer-reviewed economics journal in the United States. 13 presidents of the AER, which publishes on a quarterly basis, have won the Nobel Prize in Economics, and AER has been identified as a flagship economics journal. Despite this, articles that explore academic interest in the Austrian school overlook the AER, so I began hoping I could correct this oversight. Now, what I found is that the AER has published a reference to an Austrian economist each year in its 100-year history. That's my appendix. And these include references to Benjamin Anderson, Eugene von Bombever, Gottfried Haberler, Friedrich Hayek, Israel Kirzner, Fritz Machlup, Karl Menger, Ludwig von Mises, Oscar Morgenstern, Murray Rothbard, Joseph Schumpeter, Hans Senholz, Richard Striegel, and Friedrich Wieser. There is clarity of Austrian views for much of the AER's history, from the first reference in 1911 to the last, that was a reference to Hayek, in 2010 by Oliver Williamson, who was co-laureate in 2009, Nobel Economics Prize. And these references include articles, presidential addresses, book reviews, abstracts, comments, and replies authored by or in reference to Austrian economists. The range of Austrian concepts is broad and includes the business cycle, capital theory, economic history, government interventionism, information and knowledge, marginalism, Marxism, methodological individualism, socialism, and the Soviet Union, monetary policy and the price system, including the danger of government controls. So here's the point. I'm oftentimes asked by members of the press, why is any of this? This is not really relevant, is it? The Austrian School of Economics, they're from Austria, okay, right? Well, no. They are, in fact, many of them are from Austria, but here's the point. They're cited in the flagship economics journal in the United States every year from the first year the journal was published, 1911. That might speak a little bit to the credibility of this school, and you should pay attention to it, is my argument. So I'm going to give you the first reference. The first reference to the Austrian school is Mitchell, Wesley Mitchell, incidentally, in 1916. And he notes that Bimbarvik, Menger, Wieser, and Schumpeter are all affiliated with the school, and he says, quote, among recent tendencies in economic theory, none seems to me more promising than the tendency to make the use of money the central feature of economic analysis. So the Austrian school is identified early on with monetary policy. Ludwig von Mises's leading works, including Human Action, have been reviewed in the AER, and since we're dealing this week with the 100th anniversary of one of his books at this conference, I might mention that the first reference to von Mises occurred in 1913. That was Lutz. And Lutz wrote, he wasn't a big fan of Mises, but he wrote that Mises' book apparently represents an effort to develop a theory of money which will be in accord with the utility theory of value in its most extreme subjective applications. And so again, the Austrian school is identified with monetary policy. The view Mises is, in the 30s, Mises was cited on numerous occasions, and one author, Leffler, noted that the Austrian accepts Wicksell's distinction between the natural rate of interest and the money rate of interest, but disagrees with the idea the rate always tends towards equilibrium through banking operations. And then Mises's criticism of socialism is noted in 1923, in fact, and this is how Van Sickle describes it in the pages of the AER. It's a, quote, a complete rejection of all forms of collectivism and all compromise with the forces which, in the opinion of the author, threaten the foundation of existing society. Mises rejects socialism on two grounds. First, because it affords no possibility of rational price fixation. Second, because there is no possibility of an appropriate organization of production. Just as an aside, at the time in the 1920s, there was very little understanding in the West of what was actually occurring in the Soviet Union. This becomes clear as you read the AER, and it really puts von Mises' insight that socialism wouldn't work in a class of its own, because you just don't find these kinds of articles or arguments even in the AER. What you find actually into the 30s, through the 20s and 30s, are a lot of conflicting and just confusing accounts about what is actually occurring in the Soviet Union. You don't find a lot of the type of analysis that you would find in von Mises. Now, Dr. Holzman's book refers to book reviews by Mises. I mentioned that his books had been reviewed. The book reviews that occurred in the 40s led him to end his involvement with the AER. What happened was a critic wrote about one of his reviews, and he was not given the chance to respond to that review. And so he ended his association with the AER. However, the AER still continued to publish references to Mises. One of them was a gentleman by the name of Schuller, who trashed, I'll just say that without reading you his what he actually had to say, but he trashed Human Action. And this led to Murray Rothbard, actually, who at that point was 25, 26 years old. He was in his mid-20s, writing in and defending Mises against Schuller. And what Murray did, and I consider myself privileged to have known Murray from 1980 to the mid-90s when he passed away. Just reading this defense of Mises brought back a lot of memories, personal memories that I had. But it was a 12-point defense of Mises against Schuller's criticism. Schuller then attacked Murray, and then, of course, Murray, as he oftentimes did, had so many compelling arguments that he cited back against Schuller. But if you're interested in Murray's treatment in the AER, that's the exchange to focus on. That occurred in 1950 and 1951. And then in 1963, Schaefer, writing in the AER, noted that Murray's book on the Panic of 1819 represents the only published book-length economic treatise on the remedies that were proposed, debated, and enacted in attempts to cope with the crisis of 1819. That's also true in the Federal Reserve publications. You'll find if you read the Federal Reserve member bank reviews, Murray Rothbard is accepted in those Fed reviews as the authority on the Panic of 1819. There is no other authority. Now, real quick on Hayek. When the AER celebrated its 100th anniversary here recently, a group of blue chip economists, including some Nobel laureates, went back and with their staffs, they reviewed 100 years of the AER, and they focused in on the top 20 articles in the AER's first century. One of them was Hayek 1945. This is his article on the knowledge problem. And they note that Hayek argues that authorities lack the knowledge to plan an economy. Quote, the peculiar nature of the problem of a rational economic order is determined precisely by the fact that the knowledge of the circumstances of which we must make use never exists in concentrated or integrated form, but solely as the dispersed bits of incomplete and frequently contradictory knowledge which all the separate individuals possess. This article has been cited dozens of times in the AER by everybody from professors to Nobel laureates. This article by Hayek is commonly cited and is an example of his work being being taken seriously. I'd like to conclude with what I'm arguing is a bizarre synthesis that has emerged in the AER in recent decades. And these are articles that rely on econometrics, that is, mathematical modeling, that use, believe it or not, references to Austrian economics. This was a new one even for me. I thought I'd, growing up in Detroit, I'd seen everything, but this was new, that they're actually taking Austrian school economists and citing them in these elaborate econometric articles that are published in the AER. So just like to point out that Austrian school economists have criticized econometrics. Mises was unrelenting in his criticism of mathematical economics. Papandreou, in 1963 in the AER, observed that Mises singled out macroeconomics, mathematical economics, and econometrics, quote, as the outstanding forms of degradation in economic thought. Mises termed econometrics a childish play which at best represent an attempt to deal with history in a quantitative way. Murray Rothbard, Mises' leading student, rejected the positivism of econometrics. So you actually get in the AER, believe it or not, earlier in the AER's history, economists saying this is what the Austrians say about econometrics. It's silly. But now, it starts in the mid-70s. Those of you who never liked disco could relate to this. This, you know, bad things occurred in the 70s, but this is when this trend started in the 1970s of citing Austrians in these econometric articles. And so here's just a couple of examples of this. Hurley and McDonough in 1995 consider the Hayek hypothesis stated by Vernon Smith in the AER as it relates to the, quote, favorite long shot bias in pari-mutuel betting, which is that favorites win more often than the betting odds indicate, and long shots win less often than the betting odds indicate. Hubbard, in 2003, cites Hayek in developing a model that examines capacity utilization gains from onboard computers in the trucking industry. And then Duffy and Manso in 2007 cite Hayek, that paper from 1945 that I mentioned, and they create, quote, a simple model of percolation of information through a large market. They write, quote, our model allows a relatively explicit solution for the cross-sectional distribution of posterior beliefs at each time T in italics. So these models, as they progress, become more complicated and complex, and there's less clarity of view as to what the Austrians are actually saying. So I'll conclude real briefly that this deviation, a bizarre synthesis, is most apparent in these econometric articles that cite Hayek and Mises, who, like Murray, noted the limitations of mathematical economics. Hayek's 1945 article notes economists' growing preoccupation with statistical aggregates a propensity he later observed in the AER to, quote, imitate as closely as possible the procedures of the brilliantly successful physical sciences lead to nothing, really. Mises, in Human Action, notes there are economists who hold, quote, the only appropriate method of dealing with economic problems is the mathematical method. These economists derided the logical economists as literary economists. I love how he uses sarcasm in answering his critics. He's very good at that. Mises rejected econometrics because it starts from, quote, false assumptions and leads to fallacious inferences. And then finally, Murray Rothbard in the AER observes mathematical equations are appropriate and useful when there are constant quantitative relations among unmotivated variables. That's Man, Economy, and State from 1962. They are singularly inappropriate in economics. And then Murray concludes, training in math is, quote, no more necessary to the realization of its uselessness for an inapplicability to the sciences of human action than, for example, training in agricultural techniques is essential to knowing they are not applicable on board an ocean liner. So Austrian economics in the AER second century, which we've now just begun, should be presented free of the econometric straitjacket that only serves to obscure the school's insights and should be presented with the clarity that it was for most of the journal's history. Thank you.